the mysteries of the unknown, UFOs, alien abductions, wonders of the world, ancient archaeology, ghosts, apparitions, secret military projects, futuristic science, government cover-ups, hoaxes and frauds. Join us as we embark on another edition of the Paranet Continuum. Now, answering questions and questioning answers, here's your host, the Director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbin.
And good evening and welcome to this edition of the Paranet Continuum, home of common sense, no nonsense, paranormal talk radio. Tonight, I want to say, very rarely do I ever do this, but the response was absolutely overwhelming to my guest, with my guest last week, Alex Constantine. So what we're going to do is we're going to have him back tonight, and we're going to talk about, we're going to continue with our discussion that where we left off last week about mind control, which seems to be a really hot topic right now, something that a lot of people are very, very interested in. And of course, my particular area of interest in that has to do with the so-called Nazi connection to UFOs, and something that I think we're going to hear more and more about as time progresses The recent declassification of the documents concerning Project Silverbug and, some of the stuff that the military, our government, was involved in back in the 40s and 50s concerning UFOs. And it's kind of a very interesting twist to a story that's quite old and something that just won't seem to go away. So tonight we're going to have Alex Constantine back. But first, I've got a couple of things I want to talk to you about. First of all, I want to welcome a new affiliate to our network. It is my pleasure to welcome KGAL, which is in Oregon. They service Lebanon, Albany, Corvallis, Oregon. And, of course, that's home of the Oregon State University. And my producer, Brian Wood, works for Hewlett-Packard. And, of course, there's a large Hewlett-Packard up there. So I want to welcome Talk of the Valley, KGAL AM 1580. Good evening to you all. This is show number 218, and we've been on the air since April of 1994, and we're continuing to grow. And I want to thank Ted Jenny with KGAL for bringing us on, joining us with that station. So it's going to be real nice to have Oregon in our affiliate lineup. Also, I have in my hot little hands the newest edition of the Continuum magazine, and for those of you who are not subscribers, this is your chance to get in and get a really exceptional issue. This particular issue deals with ancient archaeology. How did they do it? Who were they? And, of course, over the course of the programs that we've done here, we've talked to a variety of people about this very interesting topic. And as a lot of you know, there's a lot of things going on over in Egypt right now. Graham Hancock, by the way, I want to mention that too, is going to be appearing on the program in the next couple of weeks to talk about his new book, The Mars Mystery. And of course, he co-authors this this book. I believe it's with Robert Bivol. It doesn't look like it, though. No, it's just Graham Hancock. But he claims there's a secret connection between Earth and the Red Planet. And of course, if there's, we haven't already had enough of all this fear and loathing about cataclysms and disasters with, you know, the movies like Independence Day and Armageddon, which is coming out, and of course the asteroid movie. I don't remember what the title of it was. Graham claims that an asteroid transformed Mars from a planet lush with rivers and oceans into a bleak and barren icy hell. Is Earth condemned to the same fate, or can we protect ourselves and our planet from extinction? So that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about that in a couple of weeks. Again, this is a brand new book published by Crown. It's out on the market now, The Mars Mystery, Graham Hancock. He always seems to draw a big crowd, some of this stuff. Also, featured in this, we have a psychologist who's been a member of our organization for many years. He's been kind of like a consultant of ours for abductions and that type of thing when we get stories like that. Dr. Greg Wheeler, and he also co-authors these articles in our Continuum magazine with Scott Scribner. This latest series the title of it is Horizons Lost and Found, In Search of First Contact Religion. And, of course, he says here, for there are no more intact horizons, of course. All are dissolving. What is the new mythology? And, of course, this kind of blends into some of the stuff that we've been talking about as well over the last couple of weeks. It seems like, you know, a lot of the stable things of our system and our establishment are falling away, and there's new paradigms emerging every day. And Greg and Scott will talk about that as well. We've also got a we've put in this issue an interview that we did with Graham Hancock and Robert Bivol. John Anthony West. John Anthony West, who's one of the researchers that have been working over there in Egypt with all that strange intrigue that's been going on over there as well. And, of course, Brian Wood, again, our producer, just returned weeks ago from a trip over in Great Britain, and he's got an article in here about Stonehenge, ancient architecture, modern wonder. And finally, and I'm real pleased to have this article as well, we have an article that was written by a special correspondent of ours. Her name is Kay Winter. She's in the Denver area here, and she's written an article. Her specialty is anthropology and archaeology, and her article is titled Myth, Legend, and Fact in Southwest Archaeology. As you may remember, about a year and a half ago, two years ago, we had Kay Winter as a guest on the program. She was down around the Bandera Caves down in New Mexico, down around the Zuni Indian Reservation. Coincidentally, she was down there when that stealth bomber crashed on that reservation down there. And she reported for us from Gallup, New Mexico, and had an incredible story that she told about some stuff that was going on down there in those areas, including UFO sightings concurrent with stealth bomber sightings, you know, and all kinds of weird stuff was going on down there. Anyway, she's got an article in here about that as well, about myth, legend, and fact in Southwest archaeology. Very, very interesting. Now, for those of you joining us, and for those of you who are listening in the past, you can get a subscription to Continuum Magazine using your Visa or MasterCard, and you can call our toll-free number at 1-800-836-6381. Again, that number is 1-800-836-6381. It's $18 a year, and it's packed full of all kinds of neat, interesting little things. And, of course, like I said, you can use your Visa or MasterCard. And if you don't have a Visa or MasterCard and you want to get it, you can send an $18 check to Paranet, 710 Grove Court, Loveland, Colorado, 80537. Again, that's Paranet, 710 Grove Court, Loveland, Colorado, 80537. You can also get a free catalog of products, tapes, all this other stuff that we have available as well. Okay, also, I want to make sure everybody understands this, too. We talked about this last week. We have changed our URL on our website. So in order for you to get to our website, you have to it's actually easier than the old address. The new URL is www.paranetinfo.com. Again, that is www.paranetinfo.com. That'll take you right to our website. Also, a couple of other things. Next week's program, we'll have Tracy Torme on the program to talk about his research. Now, I don't know how Tracy's been on the program a long time ago. He's kind of an old friend of mine. We go back to the very beginning, like 89, 88, 89. Tracy has investigated some very, very interesting UFO cases, including Gulf Breeze, Florida, that famous thing that was going on down there in 1989 in down around Pensacola. And also, he's done some screenplays, like Fire in the Sky, which featured the Travis Walton interview. Tracy will be in Denver, June the 27th and 28th, for the MUFON Symposium. And also joining us next week will be Michael Curta, who is the director of MUFON for the Colorado State Chapter. So you'll want to be sure and tune in for that as well. Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll introduce our guest, Alex Constantine. We'll be talking again about UFOs, Nazis, and a bunch of other stuff. I'm sure you'll find that very interesting. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back.
Who says you can't get something for nothing? The Paranet catalog contains detailed descriptions of all of the Paranet radio shows produced since April of 1994 and shows you how you can order them on audio cassette for as little as $5 each. Are you on the World Wide Web? You can join Paranet and get access to over 30 megabytes of text files and pictures, as well as real audio access to all of our past radio shows. Members also receive a subscription to Continuum, Paranet's quarterly magazine. The catalog shows you how to join. The Paranet catalog also has special book offers, t-shirts and sweatshirts with alien and outer space themes, and much more. And the catalog is yours free. Call now 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381 for your free copy of the Paranet catalog. That's 1-800-836-6381.
Paranet has been on the information superhighway since before there was an internet, and during the last 11 years, we've collected an incredible amount of information on UFOs and the paranormal, and you can see all of it on our website. The address is www.paranet.org/paranet. See what Michael Corbin really looks like. Is he a modern-day Orson Welles? Or go to our news page and keep up with the latest happenings in ufology and the paranormal. Click on other interesting sites from our links page. File a UFO sighting report. Read about Continuum magazine. See the Paranet radio studio. Download free pictures of UFOs. Join Paranet online using your Visa or MasterCard. You'll be authorized within minutes to see all 30 megabytes of files and pictures and nearly 200 real audio files of the Paranet Continuum radio shows dating back to April of 1994. You'll find it all at the Paranet website at www.paranet.org/paranet.
When it comes to UFOs, it's important to keep an open mind, but not as open as, say, a refuse can. We separate the facts from the garbage on the Paranet Continuum. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009 is our studio line. Give us a call. It's toll free, of course. And, well, first of all, as you know, last week we had Alex Constantine on the program. We talked about quite a few things. And the response was so overwhelming that we decided to bring Alex back and continue our discussion into mind control and some of that stuff. But tonight we're going to kind of focus on some of the Nazi involvement and the subsequent intelligence community involvement in the saucer phenomena. And there's a lot of data coming out that indicates that the government had the capability and did have a saucer that flew as early as the late 30s or early 1940s, and we're going to talk about that. Alex is a journalist from the Los Angeles area. He has published two books on the shadowy world of mind control and the CIA. His latest book is Virtual Government, CIA Mind Control Operations in America. And it's my pleasure to welcome to the program Alex Constantine. Good evening, Alex.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here, and I just want to let everybody know that this was a spur-of-the-moment thing. I didn't know that I was going to be on the program until just a few minutes before. So it's going to be a little bit off the cuff. I wrote the book 3 years ago, but I'll do the best I can.
Well, that's okay. No, we're talking about the one I just introduced about was the Virtual Government, the one you just published. But
yes.
We're going to be talking a little bit, too, about your previous book, the one you just mentioned.
Yes.
The Psychic Dictatorship in the USA.
Yeah, it's been a few years since I read that myself, but
Well, I reread it. Just finished up, finished rereading it. It's very, very interesting.
Well, you may know it better than I do, but I'll give it a try.
Well, that's okay, Alex. Everything will be fine. Tonight I want to kind of focus on, because you've done a considerable amount of research, and as we mentioned last week, I was alarmed at some of the names that popped up in your research.
Right.
Into, you know, some of the more, the more terrestrial-based, intrigue, if you will. The intelligentsia, whatever. But, you know, some of the names that you came up with in your research are names that are very well known in the UFO community. Like, for example, Samford, General Samford, and, such notable people as Hillenkoetter, Roscoe Hillenkoetter.
Right.
And, you know, the thing that I find very, very interesting, at least in the research that I've been doing, and we've been talking about this about a month and a half, 2 months ago, we had a fellow on who has been working the Nazi angle to the UFO business, and you know, we've been talking about the idea that according to Project Silverbug, this document that was released last year by the government, in 1955 they had a saucer that flew 2,300 miles an hour and could attain an altitude of 70,000 feet.
Yeah, I think I have pictures of military going back to the mid-1940s. And that's about as early as I've gotten. There have been some claims that they've done work with it before. There was, in the 1930s, there were a pair of scientists, their names were Biefeld and Brown, who worked on an electromagnetic device that was contained within a saucer configuration. And they only made a model, but they were able to make this saucer fly around a maypole, and it was covered by some newspapers of the period.
Uh-huh.
And then in fact, their work ended up in the hands of the Nazis before World War II. I don't know how this came about, but the Pentagon has shown an interest in this form of propulsion. In the 1950s, they took Townsend Brown, one of the original scientists who worked on this design, and he continued to work on it throughout the early 1950s until his death, which was circa 1980. So they had him intensively involved in this form of propulsion, and there's a company down in San Diego that has been experimenting. They're called Scientific Applications International. That's SAIC for short. And they've done a series of experiments on electromagnetics, and various other military outlets have as well. So they're working on very advanced designs. I explained some of the original designs and how they operated. Well, they're getting into some heavy-duty things, and I think if you go back and look at the progression of photographs starting from the Olympus sighting, there's this was the original sighting, the first one in 1947. There was a crash involved. There were some pictures drawn. And one of the witnesses drew a wing on the back of this thing. And I have a research friend who tracked down the wing to a company called Horten Aerospace. So it wasn't aliens flying this thing around. It was a very terrestrial designer.
Yeah, and that's what's so amazing to me. The other thing, too, that you talked about last week, which kind of surprised me as well, you know, in all the research that I've ever done, and I've done a lot, and I unfortunately didn't come to the party, if you will, to the segment of research that you've done when it comes down to the intelligence community's involvement. However, I was really surprised to hear that the government did know what Foo Fighters were.
Yeah, in fact, there were American personnel who spotted these things. One of them was actually went to work with some of the paperclip people, and I can tell you, like I mentioned the last time I talked to you, that the people who came across this technology or had anything to do with bringing it back to the U.S. ended up in very high places in the United States government. They were rapidly promoted.
Very interesting.
And now the Nazis themselves, of course, the NASA scientists are well known, the paperclip scientists. And they're actually honored in the United States. And many of these scientists were involved in atrocities in Nazi Germany. One of them was one of the most prominent, had his photograph in a prominent place at Ohio University. His name was Hubertus Strughold. You may remember an X-Files episode where Mulder follows this Nazi agent to a barn, which gives access to an underground tunnel full of files on American citizens, and on the side of the barn it says Strughold Mining, which I just about fell out of my chair.
I would imagine.
Hubertus Strughold is known as the father of American space medicine, and he worked at Dachau and did experiments on prisoners, including torture and death.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing.
Well, that's the caliber of scientists who've contributed to our space program. So.
Now, before we go to break, I want to ask you, why do you, what is your basic premise or your basic belief? Why do we have such a prevalent, I guess, a belief in the culture about aliens when there's a good possibility that some of this could, that we're talking about tonight, could explain a lot of the weirdness that that has been plaguing us for 40, 50 years?
Well, for one thing, I defy you to sit down in front of a television for 5 hours and go through the channels and not come across the word alien.
Absolutely. It's permeated the entire culture.
Yeah. And supposedly it's top secret, but I mean, how many top secret activities do you see on television every time you turn the thing on?
Yeah, hold that right there, Alex. We'll get back to that in just a minute. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. Alex Constantine is my guest. We'll be right back after this.
You got it.
Paranet wants you to know. In April, the Paranet Continuum will be on the air 4 years. We couldn't have done it without your support, so this is our way of saying thanks. If you've been listening for a while, you're pretty familiar with our skeptical believer approach to this whole paranormal business. Yes, there are plenty of very strange things going on that science, governments, and a whole variety of belief systems have trouble explaining, and we're not here to flatly debunk everything. We just don't buy into many of the more popular explanations for these phenomena, and we think some more critical thinking is necessary. This makes us very unique in a world where the paranormal seems to be everywhere in the media, on TV, other talk shows, and big-budget movies, and some of the wildest explanations get the most attention. Many people like our approach. Of course, some folks are mad at us. Oh, well. With your continuing support of this radio show, our website, and the magazine Continuum, we hope to keep everybody thinking and talking well into the future. Again, thank you. We are Paranet Information Services.
Are you sick and tired of the same old UFO magazines? Paranet has the cure. Continuum. Paranet's quarterly magazine is packed with stories you're not used to seeing in the other magazines. There's a regular series on the need to establish a first contact science, written by a psychologist on the alien abduction phenomenon. You'll find interviews with Paranet's fascinating guests, late-breaking news from the worlds of science, ufology, and the paranormal, intriguing discussions from Paranet's news groups on the Internet, and their sighting reports, book reviews, and much more. A subscription to Continuum is only $18 for 4 quarterly issues. Call now to order Continuum at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. MasterCard and Visa accepted. Continuum, Paranet's cure for the UFO blues. Call 1-800-836-6381 and order Continuum today. Talking about the paranormal these days is practically normal, and it doesn't get any better than the Paranet Continuum. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And again, our number is 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. Returning from Los Angeles is my guest tonight, Alex Constantine. Alex, I wonder, several years ago, there was a publication that came out as a reference text. It was the FEMA training manual. And in that training manual, there was a section in there about UFOs, which a lot of people found to be really peculiar. You remember that?
Well, I find everything coming out of the Pentagon to be peculiar.
Well, anyway, the thing is that they highlighted a 1942 air raid over Los Angeles, where there were several blips of something detected on radar, but they were never able to see them.
Yeah, I remember seeing a photograph from the L.A. Times. It was on the front
right.
page.
Right, yes. I'm wondering how much of this that we're talking about has to do with that.
Well, I think they've been intensively involved with these things for a long time. Like I said, since the 1930s. The Pentagon really had no intense interest in the UFO design until the early 50s, and then it just jumped and started pouring money into it. So I think what happened is that you had some preliminary work on the prototypes that were developed and shown to the Pentagon, and it took maybe 4 or 5 years before the brass realized that these things actually had some potential.
Where did they? Who was the first one to design the circular airframe?
The circular.
Yeah, who were the first ones to design the disc? Was it the Nazis, or did someone?
I mentioned in 1930. It was like circa 1933 or so. There was some work with that configuration, but the British took the original Foo Fighter and came up with the saucer design, and then they gave it to us.
Now, when you say they gave it to us, who would have had control of that? Would it have been the intelligence community, or what part of the government?
Yeah, well, you had this merging of financial, wealthy financial interests and the national security elite, and melding into the CIA. This occurred in 1947. And that's sort of the center of activity. I look at the CIA as sort of a branch of the Pentagon. I know that they're kept distinct in most people's minds.
Right.
So basically their purposes are the same. And the intelligence community within the Pentagon coordinates with the CIA. They have set up a branch within the FBI. That's another division of this underground security elite, and that's Division 5. And that was one of the five fronts for the Kennedy assassination, as a matter of fact.
As I recall, the Torbett document talks about Division 5.
Yes, it does. And actually, this division has worked up some mind control technology of their own. And there are familiar figures in the history of UFOs, including Bannister and Clay Shaw, Guy Bannister and Clay Shaw. And they go back to the paperclip and Operation Lusty, which was another operation to bring the technology to the United States. They were involved in this gathering and also involved in the Kennedy assassination, according to many sources.
Now, let's go back to Nazi Germany.
All right.
For a second here. Let's talk about, they were working on, you know, what they were working on. They were basically performing heinous experiments upon human beings. And they were developing mind control technology specifically for the purpose of what?
Well, they got involved in some crude forms of mind control in the concentration camps. And I think it really did. In the United States, it was fairly crude for a decade throughout the 1950s. But they had some real successes in the early 60s, and things taken off ever since. If you remember, in the about 1977-78, Jimmy Carter fired about 800 CIA personnel.
Right.
And they went out and set up their own proprietaries, some of these people. Some of them went into business for themselves. But these people were let go because the concentration at this time is in mind control from that point on. And that's what you're hearing from the abductees. What they're describing is exactly the same thing that subjects of electronic mind control have talked about. Simulated telepathic communication. I mean, you've read your Whitley Strieber.
Right.
And I believe in his first book, he doesn't talk so much about aliens. He doesn't know who he's communicating with. And I think he had some sense in the beginning that he was communicating with the intelligence community.
Well, I remember that in his book he talks about being taken to what he describes as some kind of a camp.
Yeah.
Where he sees aliens and also military personnel.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of these aliens are described, and there are some people who will swear that they're the result of genetic experimentation. And I would say that's a plausible theory, but I think that there are other abductees who've been exposed to virtual reality episodes and hypnosis, and they don't have an accurate recall of exactly what happened to them. And some of the so-called aliens that they're seeing are actually virtual reality or hypnosis.
Now,
or the combination.
With that in mind, what is the definition of psychotronics?
Psychotronics, well, that's very simply electronic devices that are on the brain's frequencies.
Now, these are capable of doing what to people?
Well, there's friendly psychotronics, like the Hemisync, that is supposed to improve creativity and other mind functions. And then you have the military use of psychotronics. And, of course, the Pentagon is involved in the business of death and torture and so forth. And
uh-huh.
The devices are being tested out at the present time. In fact, I just pulled up an article from a military journal today that talks about this, that this is the wave of the future. The Pentagon recognizes this. They have a heavy public relations push on to sell it to the public as non-lethal weapons. So the mind control technology is buried in the non-lethal weapon technology, which includes everything from beam weapons to that spray goo you read about in Time and Newsweek.
Right. So essentially what's going on here, and this is kind of the way it looks like it shapes up when you start doing the research and you start checking this stuff out,
yep.
We're seeing technology that has been developed behind the veil of the black budget, if you will,
yes.
That has been designed basically to control or subdue masses of people. We're seeing some of this technology now coming through into the civilian sector.
Yes, it is.
All of the police departments and things like that.
In fact, they're very interested in the mind control technology. They're really gearing up for that.
What are they trying to do? Where are they going with this?
Well, they have, they have their uses for it. There's a device that's capable of looking through clothing, for instance, as one non-lethal device, and it can find a gun you might have on your person, or a knife, or drugs, or so all the police have to do is drive up and down the street, and check out what you have in your pocket.
Right.
I mean, they have all sorts of uses for it. They have surveillance possibilities. They can subdue criminals with it. If they can even kill. I mean, I believe the Zapping of America by Paul Brodeur. He talks about the military use of a pulse, a microwave pulse, and it's very simple. All you have to do is match the pulse to the human heartbeat, and the human will keel over.
Really?
Yeah, it stops the heart.
Interesting.
So you can, from the very simplest applications up to lethal. And there's nothing non-lethal about these things. All you have to do is turn up the amplitude.
So it's kind of like doublespeak, like George Orwell talks about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. We'll be right back after this. I'm Michael Corbin. This is the Paranet Continuum.
Paranet has been on the information superhighway since before there was an internet, and during the last 11 years, we've collected an incredible amount of information on UFOs and the paranormal, and you can see all of it on our website. The address is www.paranet.org/paranet. See what Michael Corbin really looks like. Is he a modern-day Orson Welles? Or go to our news page and keep up with the latest happenings in ufology and the paranormal. Click on other interesting sites from our links page. File a UFO sighting report. Read about Continuum magazine. See the Paranet radio studio. Download free pictures of UFOs. Join Paranet online using your Visa or MasterCard. You'll be authorized within minutes to see all 30 megabytes of files and pictures and nearly 200 real audio files of the Paranet Continuum radio shows dating back to April of 1994. You'll find it all at the Paranet website at www.paranet.org/paranet.
Pilots depend on accurate, timely information, both in the cockpit and on the ground. Skyway Publications helps with both. The Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide provides convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that cater to pilots. These are free pocket-sized guides with information on large and small airports nationwide, along with technical information, fuel and airport services, and businesses that can make life easier for pilots. Keep in mind, it's free. Check your local airport for the Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide, or call area 970-669-1800. Call Skyway today and find out how the guide can also be a financial opportunity for you. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Check your local airport or call Skyway at 970-669-1800.
UFOs for real, or are they just fiction, or imagination, or disinformation? To find out, stay tuned for more of the Paranet Continuum with your host, Michael Corbett.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. We were talking about electromagnetic weapons with Alex Constantine, Alex, just go back to that and finish that up there.
All right, there was an organization called the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA.
Right.
Since shortened to Advanced Research Projects Agency, and of course they're famous for giving us the internet. Well, they had an integral role in developing these things, and there was a doctor. In fact, he was a fascist. His name was Dr. Jose Delgado at UCLA, who had done work on placing implants in the brains of children. Who, you know, without their consent or knowledge,
right.
Sort of captive. Well, he wrote about these things because he had some firsthand knowledge of them. His financing came from the CIA and the Navy, and he considered these things, quote, more dangerous than atomic destruction. He says, with knowledge of the brain, quote, we may transform, we may shape, direct, robotize man. I think the great danger of the future is that we will have robotized human beings who are not aware they've been robotized.
Well, that was back in the 70s, I think, wasn't it?
This was actually the 60s.
Late 60s?
Yeah. The ARPA geared up for the development of these things in 1965 after they discovered that the American embassy in Moscow was being beamed. And that was a warning to the Pentagon to not get any ideas about developing these things.
Right. Now, let's talk about this, the implant, the brain thing.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people today that tell the stories about what they perceive. And I'll be the first to say that I do not, downplay these people, because these people, in my opinion, are genuinely sincere in their belief that something
absolutely sincere.
Yeah, and the thing is, how does something like this work with that? I mean, if this can explain what is going on with the abduction phenomena, how are they doing this to people, and how are they selecting them?
Well, this coincided with the development of electromagnetic weapons in the 1960s. There were doctors, basically at UCLA, but other places as well, who had developed these implants that, in fact, they were extremely dangerous back in the 1960s. There were subjects who were paralyzed for life because doctors had opened up their heads and placed implants in their brains and tried to control their behavior. So there are casualties of this experimentation who are swept under the rug.
Okay.
Now, this is classified stuff. I can't tell you exactly
Right.
And as far as the implants, there are CIA doctors out there who are claiming that they're pulling alien implants out of people's bodies. So I would say check out. If you suspect that you have one, check the doctors out very carefully, because if they have gone with the implants, then you'll never see the things again.
And, of course, there's no way to prove anything other than the fact that somebody says they had one. If the actual device is gone, it's gone.
Exactly. There were a couple doctors here. One was directly associated with the CIA. His name is Daryl Sim, and he worked with a Dr. Weir, and they pulled implants out of 100 people, and these implants just disappeared, and they replaced them with just pieces of comb and crystal and that sort of thing. And they don't work that way. These things are transmitters and receivers. They work on a radio frequency that's very low, very long frequency length. And that's the brain's frequency. And once you isolate it and learn how to transmit to it, you can simulate telepathy.
How have we been so blind or duped by all this? You know, this stuff is incredible. You know, knowing that they have the capability of, I mean, reading your books and stuff, knowing they have the capability of actually sending a message to your head,
yes,
to where you can't distinguish, you know, your thoughts from some voice. I mean, you know, people would know the difference, but, you know, some of this sounds so incredible.
Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. There are victims who have thoughts placed in their heads, and they can't differentiate. And then there are people who know that what's going on is a dialogue, and that it's not coming from them, it's coming from some remote source.
Do you have any feel for how certain people are selected for the so-called abduction experience?
Yes, I do. I've talked to maybe hundreds of victims, and I have found patterns. And one of them is that they will use as a victim somebody who has crossed the national security elite in some way. That is, just to give you an example, there was a scientist at Stanford Research Institute who didn't like the Vietnam War, and he wrote a book about it. And then 20 years down the line, one of his children was chosen as a victim of experimentation. So they'll come along and either use the culprit, the quote, guilty party, or they'll go after the culprit's child. And that's fairly common. They'll punish the parent by working over the child.
Are there any other prerequisites to be found?
Yeah, there are. Volunteering, for instance, joining a self-improvement group that happens to be a front for mind control activity. If you, let's say you go to the Stanford Research Institute and volunteer for remote viewing experiments.
You just might have an alien experience.
Chances are you'll be doing remote viewing all right, but it's exactly the phrasing they use. It's techno-remote viewing. It's technologically based.
But they're actually doing experimentation on these people.
Yes. And you find these people just sort of, you know, claiming they've done these amazing things. Well, yeah, they have done some amazing things. And I've seen television programs where they're 100% accurate. They're actually doing remote viewing, but it's not a natural ability. It's the testing of advanced emerging technology.
This is incredible. You say the it's emerging advanced technology.
Yes.
What is this stuff based on? Like computers? What's the deal?
Well, computers are very much a part of this now. You may remember in the 1950s, artificial intelligence was glimpsed as a possibility, and then by the mid-60s, people just stopped talking about it. And that's because some of the best scientists in that field were recruited.
Right.
And artificial intelligence now is combined with supercomputers, and these things can access, you know, hundreds of victims at the same time and carry on individual discrete communications of each one of these people.
This is absolutely incredible. You know, let's take a look back here. For example, you know, I know a little bit about the history of the UFO thing.
Right.
When you're talking about recruiting these fine minds, yes, von Neumann comes to mind when you're talking about artificial intelligence.
All right.
One of those, you know, he was one of those characters that was recruited, you know, the MJ-12 fiasco.
Okay.
He supposedly was one of those gentlemen that were recruited to look at this stuff that allegedly came out of Roswell and other so-called crash stories.
Good point.
You know,
good point.
The other thing, too, is when you look at some of these cases, the famous cases, for example, Betty and Barney Hill.
Yes.
There were certain inconsistencies and things that, you know, in my research, and I've talked to Betty Hill privately. You know, she's a very interesting lady.
Well, let's explain the inconsistencies and the problems here.
Okay, let's do it. Go ahead. You start off, and I got a couple, too, I want to bring up.
Okay, fine. Back in 1960, the CIA, through its own Human Ecology Fund, developed a device called EDOM. This is Electronic Dissolution of Memory, and this device could wipe out your memory entirely. In fact, they went too far with some people and wiped out their minds, just wiped them blank. But they were able to, through experimentation, to wipe out short-term memories. And that's why the Hill case comes along, because once they were able to wipe out your short-term memories, they could do anything to these people that they want.
They can replace it with other things.
Sure. And the inconsistencies are natural. They come with hypnosis and electronic assault on the brain.
Okay, Alex, hold that right there. We got to go to another break.
Okay.
When we come back, I want to pick up where we left off about Betty and Barney Hill, because there's some other things, too, I wanted to talk about, including the name C.D. Jackson.
All right.
Okay, so hang on to that. 800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. Alex Constantine is my guest. We're talking about some very, very interesting things concerning mind control, UFOs, and Nazis. Very nasty little soup. We'll be right back after this. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet Continuum.
Paranet wants you to know. Did you know that Paranet Information Services was the first comprehensive paranormal and UFO information service of record? In 1986, Paranet was launched as an electronic news and information service dedicated to answering questions and questioning answers. Since Paranet's launch, we've expanded to a truly global organization linking research and investigative groups via our computer network, now on the Internet. This radio program is a mere extension of the vast knowledge base and experience Paranet has gained through thorough and timely reporting on events throughout the globe. Michael Corbin, Paranet's director, brings 10 years' experience to the Paranet Continuum. This program offers something that others can't and don't, an extensive focus on these issues. To learn more about Paranet, you can contact us toll-free at 1-800-836-6381. Or visit our website at www.paranet.org/paranet.
Are you sick and tired of the same old UFO magazines? Paranet has the cure. Continuum. Paranet's quarterly magazine is packed with stories you're not used to seeing in the other magazines. There's a regular series on the need to establish a first contact science, written by a psychologist on the alien abduction phenomenon. You'll find interviews with Paranet's fascinating guests, late-breaking news from the worlds of science, ufology, and the paranormal, intriguing discussions from Paranet's news groups on the Internet, and their sighting reports, book reviews, and much more. A subscription to Continuum is only $18 for 4 quarterly issues. Call now to order Continuum at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. MasterCard and Visa accepted. Continuum. Paranet's cure for the UFO blues. Call 1-800-836-6381 and order Continuum today. Whether it's online, fax, telephone, or radio, you're connected to Paranet, the world's most respected network of the paranormal. Now back to the Paranet Continuum and your host, Michael Corbett.
And again, joining me from Los Angeles is Alex Constantine. And I want to thank Alex for on short notice tonight for appearing on the program. We had such an overwhelming response, we wanted to get back to this subject we've been talking about. And we don't have much time left in this first hour, Alex, and you're going to carry over with us into the second hour. But I want to kind of pick up real quick where we left off about the inconsistencies for the Betty and Barney Hill case.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many people who have studied that that particular abduction case, but, you know, one of the things I found very interesting was the two characters that contacted the Hills shortly after they had written their letter to Donald Kehoe. One of his name was C.D. Jackson.
C.D. Jackson.
And you have a guy in your book, in your research, that pops up named C.D. Jackson. Can you give us kind of like about a one-minute little rundown on who this guy was?
Yeah, excuse me for laughing, but this is such a scam that they pulled.
Yeah.
C.D. Jackson was a mind control operative. He's one of the original Mockingbirds. He's from the Mockingbird program conceived by Alan Dulles in 1947, and the idea of Mockingbird was mass mind control through the media. C.D. Jackson was one of the early Mockingbirds. Another one was Richard Mellon Skate, incidentally.
Uh-huh.
He's come up in the news as the leader of the right-wing conspiracy against Clinton. And when you think about it, these mind control personnel are in the publishing business, and that's a little scary.
Yeah, that's the thing. Okay, we're out of time. We'll be joining you in the second hour locally, and for the national side, I want to thank you for being on the program with us tonight, and keep it up. Alex Constantine and his book, Virtual Government, is available on the market today. I highly recommend you get a copy of this book. It's very, very important, and of course, we'll have Alex back again at a future date. If you want to reach me, you can do so, 303-863-0484. Again, that number is 303-863-0484. My email address is mcorbin@dimensional.com. And, of course, our website, www.paranetinfo.com. Again, Tracy Torme will join me next week talking about his research and his upcoming visit to the Denver MUFON Symposium. So be sure and join us. Until next week, I'm Michael Corbin telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.